This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. Kate Berlant and John Early are comedians and performers. Kate has appeared in movies like Sorry to Bother You and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. John has appeared on TV shows like Search Party, 30 Rock, and The After Party. They've also been best friends and collaborators for over a decade. They've done sketches on YouTube and other platforms, live performances on TV and around the country. When John and Kate perform on stage together, it's really something. There is a frenetic, unhinged energy. They tend to veer between intense platonic love and seething contempt, thinly masked with backhanded compliments and probing questions. Their TV sketches are equally unhinged, though in a slightly different way. The settings are usually pretty grounded, the stakes aren't too high, but they almost always insert a little bit of surreality into the mundane. A meet-cute at a farmer's market where both Kate and John have enormous face tattoos. An awkward who-gets-the-check moment where you pay the bill with hot melted caramel sauce. Their newest project combines both of those practices into one very, very funny special. It's called Would It Kill You to Laugh? And it comes out this week on Peacock. Here's the premise. John Early and Kate Berlant play fictionalized versions of themselves. Decades ago, the two starred on a smash hit sitcom called He's Gay, She's Half Jewish. Shortly after the show wrapped, they had a very public falling out. Between the sketches in Would It Kill You to Laugh, Kate and John reunite for an interview with journalist Meredith Vieira, and it becomes very clear that, while it's been a while, the old wounds aren't quite healed.
I needed this. I think I'm actually now really looking
cathartic.
Around. It's really cathartic.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little dizzy.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm going to move through it.
Okay.
But I'm getting a little dizzy.
For you, John. Same feelings? Sorry. I'm sorry.
I feel really good.
We can't hear you, sweetie.
I feel good.
You look. I am looking at you. It's so strange because you look 12, but you also look 60. And it's I love the way you're, the shading, and you finally found a foundation that matches.
You know, it's so funny. Obviously, I haven't seen you in years.
Yeah, I know, years.
You know, I haven't seen you in person.
Yeah, years.
I haven't seen you in person, but I also haven't seen you just kind of reflected anywhere in the culture. So what have you been up to?
I've been really good. I've been busy. I've been in New York doing theater.
Aww!
John Early, Kate Berlant, thanks for coming on Bullseye.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Congratulations on this special. It's so funny. I like that clip really, I did not pick that clip, but it really illustrates some real hallmarks of the Berlant Early relationship, including insulting funny voice, false illness.
Yeah.
There's a real laundry list of stuff you seem to enjoy doing together.
Yeah.
What was the first thing that you discovered yourselves doing together that you were like, this is what I enjoy in my life?
That's a great question.
I know.
I mean, I think it would be this exact energy from the clip. Like when we first became friends, we watched I showed Kate, if I may.
You may.
Like, you know, as you do in early friendships and early on in friendships in our modern era, you show each other YouTube videos. And I showed Kate this video of Suzanne Summers and Joyce DeWitt reuniting after like maybe 30 years of not speaking to each other and having a very public falling out.
On Three's Company,
yeah. And it was like Suzanne Summers' own kind of YouTube series called Cafe Mom. And so it was like she was in full control over it, like in control of like the lighting. It was very much her.
Was it like a professionally produced situation?
Yes.
She had some sort of talk show on YouTube and used that as a platform to have this reuniting.
To invite Joyce on.
Yeah. And there was just something in that dynamic that I think really spoke to the overlap in our sensibilities, plural. And I don't know, I think we just, that video kind of ignited a certain kind of like tense, kind of smiley, kind of undercutty, like thing.
And they're in that clip, it's pretty amazing. They're both really trying to, it's this subtle competition over who is kindest and who is the most, who's moved on, it's in the past, you know, but they're like, and it's wacky.
It's wackadoo and it's very layered. It's very, very layered.
Yeah, and I think John and I, that's kind of the thing that brought us together is and remains that kind of obsession of those layered moments in social nicety.
Yeah.
And the subtext that we refuse to acknowledge.
I do sometimes worry watching your work together. I think it's so funny. And sometimes I worry that you know that so well that you might be bad people. Like, I don't, like, think that, but it gives me that concern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
always is so shocked by how sweet I am.
No.
You're meeting me right now, Jesse. I need a tuna melt. I'm a little hungry. I should have had the tuna melt before the interview.
Yeah, except for that fuel.
But I have the tuna melt kind of in the near future. And I'm going to let, even now you feel the energy lifting. Just talking about,
talking
tuna
about
melt.
The tuna melt.
I'm very meal oriented in that way. So just knowing the tuna melt is near, I will let the energy bubble to the surface.
And I brought pastries for all the kind of technicians today and their kids. So.
And that's a lie.
That's a lie. Very sweet. No, we're not bad people, but I do think we enjoy the kind of freedom of playing bad people.
Yes, you totally. Know?
Like there's something very...
Because we're not rude. No. We don't have the bravery to be rude.
No, exactly, exactly. There's something very liberating about being just openly rude.
Yeah.
What was the first show that the two of you did together?
Live show?
Yeah.
We did at Union Hall. We
sold it out.
Sold it out.
It's like 40 seats. It's more. But we sold it out. Oh, that's not what I meant to repeat. We did a show at Union Hall where it began with a wedding. It began with us getting married. And actually, I had a bouquet of kale.
She literally walked down the aisle with a bouquet of kale. It started with me on stage in a suit. And like I...
Like straight guy.
Yeah, straight guy that try not to cry. And then Kate came down in a wedding dress and a bouquet of kale. And we did like 33 like insane sketches. And it was like probably, it was like a very bloated kind of like 2-hour show.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but it was so exciting.
Yeah.
What was exciting about it?
Well, honestly, it was exciting, frankly, that it was sold out. Like, I think that Kate and I, like, you know, we had a very... I mean, literally day one of our friendship, we were very like verbalized that we knew we would be working together, that it was like a very, it was like, and not just like, let's collaborate. It was like, oh, this is a
huge
partnership.
Yeah.
This,
yeah.
Where, this is huge, where were is a you? Common refrain.
What was the context for it? Where were you?
We were on the set of a friend's short film and it was in, there was like a room where the snacks were and John and I started talking and I was like instantly upset whenever somebody else would come in the room and we had to pivot the conversation to them and become sociable.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, you got your snack, get out. I really felt like I just wanted to talk to John.
Yeah.
And we were just screaming, laughing all day. And then we parted at like midnight Grand Central Station. Why were we at Grand Central? We were.
Because we were shooting transferring near there. Yeah.
To the Six.
To the Six.
Exactly. On the Six, J-Lo's album also.
And it was midnight and we were partying and then we texted. I got back to my apartment and we texted until like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And I remember John was like, if I don't see you in 2 days, I'll kill myself.
I think I said I'll kill myself in public.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then we just...
And then I remember, Kate, I mean, not to brag, but you were like, I'm watching your YouTube videos and I'm breathless.
Oh my God, did I say that?
You said breathless. I was like... it was very romantic.
Yeah.
Is there a sketch that you did in that first stage show at Union Hall that you're still proud of?
No recollection.
We kissed, remember? Basically. We kissed.
Oh, yeah. Wait,
which
did?
Which we've, like, never done since.
Whoa.
I guess we did in the Beaver sketch, but it didn't make it.
Yeah.
But the we kissed. Remember, I played your mother.
Oh, this is This is amazing. And we should actually shoot that for real. We should definitely do this.
Kate played my daughter, and she was like, "Were you reading?"
No, I was brushing my hair in a vanity mirror, pretending to brush my hair before bed.
Yeah, and I was like her, a severe kind of period mother character,
like pacing behind me, being like,
"You."
Yeah, like calling me a
yeah.
And then I was like, please, mother. Yeah. I was like brushing my hair. And then you grabbed me and kissed me.
Yeah. Like grabbed her by the face and you were putting on lipstick and we were like.
Grabbed me. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And it was like, it was unwritten, I would say.
Yes.
It was just like wild improvised genre parody.
Yeah. Doing
we
that,
should do it.
Doing that like a Vermeer.
Yeah.
Like making it really.
Yes. Fully period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Great.
And we'll credit
you,
Jesse.
Season two.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I would prefer executive producer, but I'll take co-executive producer if it
for
comes to it.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Josh Lindgren is my agent. You can just give him a call.
Thank you.
Great.
CAA. So the two of you have been working together ever since. And being a comedy duo isn't
chic.
The most. Yeah, it's not like the most, the easiest or
it's
most.
Outre.
Yeah, remunerative lane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just not, I mean, as with sketch comedy, like, there's only so many places you can do that.
Yeah.
And it's twice as expensive as doing something by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like going on tour or
unless
something like that.
Unless you share a hotel bed like we do.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's really sweet.
On our, when we tour, we share a bed.
Yeah. They have hotel rooms with two beds in them.
We've gotten those too. But why?
We have had two beds. But
sometimes
rarely,
it's one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, honestly, I've always been very like the comedy duo, I think there's something very kind of sweet and old school about it.
Yeah.
And that's also very sad that that's old school. I think that's only old school as a result of like
rugged individualism.
It's the way rugged individualism has now like kind of manifested through social media, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any sort of actual public like change like in like
desire.
I don't think the public's like down with duos, like we want individuals now. It's I just think it's that social media has become so prevalent. Obviously everyone has their little platform, and for some reason, I mean, it's very clear why they want us all atomized and alienated so we can, you know,
rip each other to shreds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that we can't, you know, come together and overthrow the ruling class. But like, I do think there's something bizarre about the fact that imagine if Kate and I had a shared Instagram. That would be corny.
Yeah, yeah.
Why though?
I know.
But, well, because honestly, it would be crass because it would be like we were trying to kind of like
market our
duo ship. But anyway, while we were shooting this special, because it's been a long time since Kate and I have been given the opportunity to make something on a big platform, while we were shooting it, there were times when I would be like so moved, where I would be like, Kate, I really believe in the duo. Like, this is so special. Like, this is so important right now as everyone is like screaming on their phones, you know, and I understand why they're screaming. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, it's really... there is something profound right now about like insisting on something that isn't maybe as clearly, that doesn't snugly fit in with what's seen as marketable. Like, we love being a duo. We love having long sketches that can breathe and where like things can happen subtextually.
Yeah.
And where they're not spelled out, you know, like I think that's, I think it's important to insist on that even as the venues for that keep like shrinking and dying.
More of my interview with John Early and Kate Berlant after a quick break. Stay with us. It's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Noom. Noom understands that not everyone is starting from the same place and takes that into account. With their first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, you can find 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold. This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
We saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. If you're just joining us, I am talking with the comedians Kate Berlant and John Early. Kate is a stand-up comic and actor who has appeared in Tuca and Birdie, Space Force, and more. John is an actor who's had roles on Search Party and Los Espookies. The two have been working together as a comedy duo for over a decade, and they are very good at it. They have a brand new special that debuts this week on Peacock called Would It Kill You to Laugh? Let's get back into our conversation. Let's play a little bit from my guests, Kate Berlant and John Early's new special, which is called Would It Kill You to Laugh? And this is the two of them in a book club. They have not read the book because they heard it's a pretty chill book club. It turns out to be a pretty not chill book club. And so they are trying to play along.
Loved it completely. Loved it completely.
Loved it. Loved it in a way where I'm just like, I loved it, period.
What did you love about it, Kate?
You know what? You know what? You know what? You know what? I think that people who look like me have had the stage for so long, the microphone for so long, right? Yeah. I just kind of feel like as a way to rectify like the sins of my ancestors. Mm-hmm. By the way, I hate you guys. I really do. I'm going to give the floor to someone else.
John, do you have any thoughts that you want to share? I mean, any impressions you have are welcome here.
Well, I'm gay. I'm gay. And I just want to get right out in front of that, you know, because I have to wake up to that every morning. It's not just a hat that I can take off.
What did you think of the book?
Where were you guys when you finished it? I'll start. I remember being in my bedroom and getting to the end and going...
So fun to hear it.
I know.
Chopped and screwed. In the ears, yeah.
The two of you often seem to be having a contest.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When you're doing a sketch. Like a lot of sketches have a straight character, joke character.
Mm-hmm.
The two of you seem to do a lot of goading related sketches. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What does goading mean if I were a person who didn't know?
Like poking each other, like trying to escalate.
Yeah.
We slip into competition energy very quickly.
But what I like about book club is like we are on the same
team. We're united front. We both didn't read it.
Then I think that was why we did that sketch. We were like, what's something where we're not kind of like
at each other's throats? Yeah.
You also have a lot of comedy where you name your identity categories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When it comes to things that might be seen as millennial in their nature,
mm-hmm.
I think struggling with trying to figure out how to relate to your identity category is one of them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. How to exploit it, weaponize it.
Yeah.
I've probably seen
profit off of it.
8 bits where, John, you've announced that you're gay.
It's the oldest trick. One time my mom was like, you say you're gay a lot.
Well, it's one of the funniest things you do just in conversation. Or like with just like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like we'll be at a restaurant and John will be like, sorry, I'm gay, and order something. You'll like go back on your order and blame it. And,
and blame it on my homosexuality.
Blame the moment on the fact that you're gay.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
What do those identity categories actually practically mean to you, do you think?
It's my culture. Yeah, it's everything. I mean, we have another joke in the special that we're on a sitcom called He's Gay, She's Half Jewish.
Right.
Which is another sort of the joke of my proclaiming being half Jewish and what that could possibly mean.
Yeah.
even though, you know, I actually might be fully Jewish. Anyway, it's a long story.
We'll
get into it.
Yeah.
But what do they actually mean? Well, I think, as John said before, just these categories that can become, you know, weaponized or kind of used as some kind of ammo to, or used as some way to be perceived as smart or having something
exactly
to say,
exactly,
or some angle,
right,
some experience,
yeah,
and kind of being hyper aware of your own experience next to other people's, and
right,
being very hyper conscious about you know, saying the right thing. And
as if there's a monolithic experience for any identity group. I think that is just so, I mean, that is not something we even really planned on doing in the special.
No.
The book club sketch is like one of the more improvised sketches, and he's gay, she's half Jewish, so it just like flew out of Kate's mouth.
It was just like a stupid joke.
Yeah, and we were like, what should the sitcom be called? And, you know, and then I think he was like, he's gay, she's Jewish. And then later we changed to half Jewish.
Which is funny.
We came by this particular theme, I think, unintentionally, but I do think we are clearly on some level absorbing it from the zeitgeist. I think that's really in the air, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And then need to identify yourself clearly so you can be more directly advertised too.
Exactly.
I remember very vividly in an instance in college where I was sitting in the dining hall with my two best buds who were the co-hosts of this show at the time. And we were sitting with this girl named Rebecca, who I really liked and admired. Really cool, smart lady. And she said, it's really hard to sit with you guys. And I said, why is that, Rebecca? I'm like, you're the greatest. Why? And she said, I can't tell if you're joking or when you're joking.
We get that.
I struggle with that
sure.
because I'm so serious. But, you know, yeah.
But you so comfortably slip into your either dumb or insincere
or
passive aggressive characters.
Totally.
No, you're totally conversation. Correct. Yeah, I can take it.
Or when we slip into those things, they're not, it's often very small.
Yeah.
And like we had trouble with our editor, Sophie, one of our editors on this. She was like, you guys are always, she's like, we would just, you know.
Be talking?
Or we'd have jokes. We would do like what to us, what felt like very clear jokes.
Oh, right.
Just like stuff like, you know, just like, hey, Sophie, like, do you, like we were editing at my house, you know, and it's just stuff like, if you don't mind not using the bathroom, you know, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, and she would just be like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, like, oh, no, use the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
So there, that does happen a lot, I think.
It does.
And we're sorry for it because we really don't mean to.
The special is really intensely aesthetic in a way that comedy isn't often on video. You know, like usually on film, comedy is just in the middle.
Yeah.
And you just catch the funny things that people say or the funny faces they make or whatever. That must have been – I saw that your director also had a co-writing credit on the show. Did you like work on the visual aspects as you were writing? Like were you trying to think of them as one thing?
I think we're always like part of the joke is always the kind of genre or the tone or the look of it. I think we're Kate, Andy, and I are all very aesthetically driven, and you know we certainly don't want to do it. We're never trying to make things, you know, like aesthetically like oppressive.
I know we sort of like we're very sensitive to that. We want things to be beautiful and lush and exciting.
Yeah.
But also the most important thing to us is that it's funny.
Yeah.
And we don't want to, you know.
We don't want to take away from that.
And be like, well, we have a lens flare, so good luck criticizing this. Yeah.
The special is directed by J.J. Abrams, explain.
Our director is Andrew DeYoung.
Yes.
Should say yes.
There is a really wonderful Who's Gonna Pay the Bill sketch in which you are both – I presume straight dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, you have a soul patch.
Sure do.
It's unbelievable. Real hair, right?
I don't know.
I think she laid real hair on her chin.
Wow.
It was also fast.
It was very fast.
Yeah.
Like a, did it come on, you know, like a nylon, like a piece, like a
she
false
did,
mustache, or is it?
It's like a little piece that she, I don't know.
Yeah. Little lace front.
It's just on skin?
On skin.
Yeah. Like someone who's had a portion of their head flayed?
Possibly,
yeah.
I don't know where the hair comes from. I just sign for it when they deliver it.
What are the things that you think are interesting about straight dudeness?
Mm.
And I can take it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we love our
straight men. Yes. I think.
Thank you. That sounded insincere, but I'll take it.
It's totally real.
It's totally sincere.
Truly.
I think just like straight male friendship is fascinating to us, to me, because it's like I have these intensely emotional, involved friendships, and I've always felt sad for straight men in my life that I know who maybe aren't able to have the emotional openness to like I always think about myself just like openly weeping in front of my friends and falling on them and being physically affectionate.
Yeah.
And the way that straight men aren't allowed to do that. And
I mean, we slept in the same bed for 2 years basically.
Yeah.
In the beginning of our friendship.
Totally. And so something about two straight men trying to connect, but maybe there isn't that natural chemistry there to be friends.
Yeah,
but
or they permission.
Just have lunch.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we've all experienced that.
Yeah. Like that goes beyond any.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
the clinical catch up.
Yeah. The clinical catch up, which we're obsessed with. But, but
define the clinical catch up, please.
Basically, the
like a joyless encounter of two people, and maybe there's history there. Like you feel like it's obligatory. You got to meet up.
Yeah.
And go. How were your last 2 years?
Yeah.
But it's a medical. Merely... Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
Filling out one of those forms when you have a new doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just feels enforced. It feels like suddenly the state organized this comedy. And there is no actual joy to be pulled from it. It's just who are you appeasing? Your mother, the mayor? Why are we doing this?
Well, it's a good opportunity to kind of lock in your narrative. That's the most you get out of those lunches is you're
I can kind of
practice my little story of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, things are good.
Yeah.
They're good. And yeah. I'm
took me a while to get here, but yeah, no, it's true. It's a way to lock it in.
Yeah.
That was a cowboy voice.
Was it? Kate.
Yeah. She's thinking.
I'm having a Western flair today.
No, but we love those boys. And I have to say, those boys, were in the script, were a vehicle for the end of the sketch, which was the caramel as payment. And
we should say that there is a runner through the sketch that instead of money, hot caramel is used to pay bills, which is heated on a little portable induction.
You got
here,
it. Yeah.
In
yeah.
a little, like a little tin.
Yeah. So yeah.
Ladled.
Yeah.
Ladled onto the check, directed onto the check. But that was kind of the point of the joke for us was that. And then we didn't.
And why wouldn't you build the whole thing around that?
Exactly. And we were I think that was one of the, that was a kind of set of characters that I was maybe privately where we talked about it being kind of does this feel a little flat? We're just kind of...
Yeah, because we're not interested in just being straight guys.
Yeah, making fun of straight guys. We have no desire to do that. Yeah. But once Kate had... Not to be that actor that talks, when I put on the costume.
No, but it's
really
true.
When Kate had the soul patch and started doing it, I was this is the most... This is watching a Robert Altman. This is watching Shortcuts.
I love you.
I mean, I was shocked by what she was doing. And I also was I don't have to do anything. I felt so free. I felt so relaxed for the first time since 82.
Yeah.
I just finally, when there's any sort of ambiguity of how am I going to do this? I don't, what's my approach? What's my angle in comedically?
Which so often we never discuss. That was something where we just never,
did not discuss.
And there was so, we had no time.
Yeah.
We really had to just throw the costume on, go. My hair was a crisis. Greg Lennon is genius and was twisting my hair manically between, and we had just had to shoot it.
Sun was going down.
But thank God, I think that just speaks to the trust of the friendship and the collaboration. It just
it just
comes somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm stunned by what Kate's doing in that sketch.
I told you we're doing a lot of home renovation stuff.
We're actually doing some renovations too.
Oh, no.
Yeah, a buddy of mine's helping me out with some. That wall between the living room and the garage?
Yes.
We had that knocked down.
Oh, so the garage is exposed to the living room?
Totally exposed. Yeah.
Oh, no way, no way. You know that wall that separates the bedroom from the bathroom, the main?
Yeah.
Yeah, we knocked that down.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
You know my daughter's room at the top of the stairs?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's that utility room next to it, boiler, hot water heater. But yeah, we had that wall knocked down.
Okay.
So now the boiler's kind of in the room with my daughter as she sleeps.
No, the renovation stuff is you have to.
Does the insincerity of your shtick ever get in the way of your actual intimacy?
Never.
No. We know how to drop it.
We drop it, honey.
I mean, this morning. We got in the car. We were both so depressed.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not hard for us to drop it.
Yeah.
Do you still have mysteries about each other?
Ooh. I mean, isn't everyone a mystery? I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
E.G.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are inherently mysterious. Yeah. Even when you really know someone, yeah. there's always more to uncover. Or else, yeah. you throw in the towel. Yeah. It's like, to get to the bottom, then.
What do you think John doesn't know about you?
A lot. I hope he finds out. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm ready to find out. God, you're gorgeous.
No, John knows everything.
Yeah, I do feel like we kind of know everything. And what we don't reveal is probably on some level felt. I mean, I would argue. I mean, I think are very sensitive to each other and kind of absorb even the subtextual.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that doesn't get expressed. I feel like we do express it in some way and process it. And you know what I mean? I think
what you don't know about me is because I don't know it about myself.
And you, vice versa.
But you also know things about me I don't know about myself.
And vice versa. Yeah.
John, you mentioned you have a boyfriend. I don't know if you have a partner, Kate, but what is it like for your romantic partners to have this other intense intimacy?
It's a really good question.
I've been lucky that there's always an understanding that John and I, of the sanctity of our relationship and friendship, and that we need time alone. And that there is a closeness that we have that, I mean, we've joked about this, but like we do have a marriage.
Yeah.
Like very much.
Yeah, there's a kind of like, there's a commitment involved in our friendship.
Yeah.
And I think there's like always has been a sense of the future in our friendship. Mm-hmm, like there's always been like, we've literally since day one of our friendship always had a plan for our 60th birthday.
Yeah.
A joint 60th birthday, like at the Met.
We almost went, remember, because we wanted to do a, we just had our 10-year anniversary.
May 5th.
Yeah. And we wanted to do, and then we were like, well, we didn't get to do a big old party because of COVID and John's back.
Yeah.
But next year, hey, look at me.
Next year.
We do year 11.
See you there. Yeah, we want to do a 60th.
Yeah.
A 10th and a 60th. But yeah, I agree. There's always, everyone that I've been romantically involved with has come, it's come kind of after this relationship has been very publicly established.
Yeah, same.
So they're coming in with an understanding of like the primacy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then that's part of obvious, and I think we've had very,
it's never been an issue.
It's never been an issue.
Thank God.
Our partners have been very respectful and kind of and loved it, I think, in a way too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even more with Kate Berlant and John Early still to come. When we return, we will talk about what it is like to dress as a beaver going through a TSA line. Turns out, it is very uncomfortable. It's Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. Support for NPR and the following message come from the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org.
A man goes to the doctor and says that he's depressed and that life seems cruel. The doctor says, "Ah, the treatment is simple. The great clown Pagliacci is in town tonight. Go and see him and you will surely feel better." The man bursts into tears and says, "But doctor, I am Pagliacci." "Ah, okay," says the doctor. "In which case, try listening to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast." The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is a multi-award-winning comedy podcast, and you can find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Bullseye. I'm Jesse Thorne. I'm talking with Kate Berlant and John Early. Let's get back into our conversation. We talked about how intimate your relationship was from the beginning and how much your work right from the beginning had the tone of what you do now. But what's different about your relationship now and your work now?
I think that if I'm looking, I mean, if you think about like from Paris to Would It Kill You to Love, I just think there's a relaxing, you know, I think we are obviously, we know when to deploy our kind of like vaudevillian, like honk honk kind of thing that we will always like have in us
grave.
And always use, you know, but I do think, I mean, I, I actually think about Paris, and I think about the way that you were so relaxed to the point of falling asleep, like
yeah.
on camera.
Yeah.
Like I was,
I was hungover. It was the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we were both hungover.
And I was hungover and had a migraine. So I was on migraine medication. And I was like propping, like in the video, I'm propping my head up a lot with my yeah. hand, as I remember.
Are we talking about a triptan here?
Yeah. Traxamat,
yeah,
honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sumatriptan. And
knocked me out too.
I was like so dazed. Do you miss it more now? Or I mean, stupid question.
Ask it again. Try it again.
Do you miss Paris?
Yes.
Thank God you're coming over because we can talk about this because I can't talk about it with other friends.
I can't talk about it with other friends.
People are scared.
People here are scared. It's a fear-based culture. In Paris, it's a luxury-based culture.
It's a fear-based culture in America.
But you've always been capable of, like, I think you've always been capable of kind of just getting in a flow state performance-wise, and I'm a little, like, I mean, this is why I have back problems, is I'm a little more, like, rigid and loud, and, like, and so I would say, like, I think both of us just like kind of trust it more. I mean, we've always trusted it, but there's just something's a little more like, to me, when I watch this special, something feels like less forced, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little more relaxed.
Yeah. When I watch the whole thing, I feel like there is like a kind of like soft, kind of conversational, kind of like languid quality, mm-hmm, dreamy mm-hmm. quality to it.
Yeah.
That's great. Nice. Yeah.
There's a sketch in the show where the two of you are parents with a kid in an airport in your beavers.
Yes.
It's a regular people airport, but you're human beavers.
Yeah.
Put this in a checked bag, we would have gotten a fee. An exorbitant fee. You know what? I'm just going to hang on to it, read on the plane. It'll be fine.
You are not going to read that thing.
Yes, I am going to read it.
This line is not moving. We are at a standstill.
Oh, God.
I just hope I get on the plane.
Well, I also...
They're boarding. Hey, they're boarding.
What's up, folks?
How would you like to breeze through the security line today, huh?
What is that mean? Who are you?
My name is Frankie. I'm with Breezer.
Breezer. What is that? What is Breezer?
That's a VIP experience at the airport. Could have you at your gate within 5 minutes, huh?
5 minutes?
Ooh, damn, boy, you're strong, huh?
Congratulations.
Ask how much.
How much is it?
You don't need to worry about that.
Are you meant to look like from the Lion, the Witch, and the live-action Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Is that what's supposed to be happening there? Not the movie, the like BBC television
right, no,
movie.
Of course. I love that one.
Because it has the same deeply distressing quality.
Yeah, yeah. We're just trying to be beavers.
We were just trying to be beavers. Like, we wanted to be like, we wanted to really have prosthetics that were like as real as possible. But I think that if you're feeling that, it's because that was a time when people were using prosthetics in a way that was like more
practical,
like sincere and practical and,
yeah.
and less about, there wasn't like the CGI blend of certain elements.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
like, so, and that was like, we like in our like little deck for this, for the beaver sketch, we had the cone heads in there, like the family picture of the cone heads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's that same kind of just like, I don't know.
It's not, the attempt isn't so much to become so real that, I mean, like, I think the beaver makeup is amazing.
Yeah.
And
but
like,
if we want, or if we had the money to, someone might have wanted to sweeten it with
and
CGI.
Somehow then it becomes something else.
Yeah.
It's like no longer, what is that? It's,
I just think
it's something profound about.
It becomes uncanny.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the uncanny valley or whatever, or just like it doesn't, the attempt isn't to, there's something about knowing that John and I are actually in there
yeah.
and that being clear is why it is funny.
I think
if we just
so.
Disappeared
yeah.
into full beavers, it'd be like, yeah, then they're beavers and it
yeah.
doesn't, it like loses something.
Yeah, like hearing us struggle with the teeth.
Yeah, like
you know,
we're in a mask. We're in
yeah.
prosthetics.
The teeth have a little bit of gross color.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Meg.
It has a little bit of Brecht to it. There's a little bit of mm-hmm. sort of confrontational quality that, make,
yeah.
that makes you step outside and makes the content feel
yeah.
a little
what's that word?
More intense. Let's call it the V effect, shall
yes.
we?
Yes. yes.
Well, Kate and John, I'm so grateful to you for coming and being on the show. your special and your other work is so funny.
Thank you.
And I so admire it. So thank you for coming here and doing this.
Thank you for watching it
and liking it, truly.
Genuine. Like,
Thanks for having us.
You know, no one's watched it yet.
Yeah.
Kate Berlant and John Early. Their special is called Would It Kill You to Laugh? It is extraordinarily funny. You can stream it starting this week on Peacock. That's the end of another episode of Bullseye. Bullseye is created from the homes of me and the staff of Maximum Fun in and around Greater Los Angeles, California. Here at my house, I've been unboxing my late aunt's record collection. I inherited them from her, and they were shipped to me by Amtrak from Washington, D.C., where she lived. Here's one that I recommend pretty unequivocally. It's the self-titled debut album by Mary Clayton, M-E-R-R-Y, Mary Clayton. Incredible, slightly rock-tinged soul album from the early 1970s. Listen to it on your streaming service. The show is produced by Speaking Into Microphones. Our senior producer is Kevin Ferguson. Our producers are Jesus Ambrosio and Richard Roby. Our production fellow at Maximum Fun is Tabitha Myers. We get booking help from Merritt Davis. Our interstitial music is by Dan Wally, also known as DJW. Our theme music is by The Go Team. It's called Huddle Formation. Thanks to The Go Team for sharing it with us, along with their label, Memphis Industries. Bullseye is on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, so connect with us in those places. We share all our interviews in all of those, and I think that's about it. Just remember, all great radio hosts have a signature sign-off.
Bullseye with Jesse Thorne is a production of MaximumFun.org and is distributed by NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. When you book through Capital One Travel using the Venture X Card, you earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights, and you earn unlimited 2x miles on all other purchases. Plus, receive a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. The Venture X Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little breaks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.